P-9. RMXT parking lot, Manhattan, New York. When Dan McCarthy opened his eyes, and much like during his remarkable conversation with the visiting architect, he had no idea how long had passed since he lost consciousness when the cable was disconnected. "A few minutes," Leisha replied from above him, having heard the question in Dan's thoughts. Dan looked up, saw no blinding light, and noticed Clark and Emma at either side of his still horizontal body. He stood up with their assistance and glanced around. "Where are Piper and Tara?" he asked.
"Safe," Leisha said. "The first thing I did was check. We didn't want to bring them down into this scrum, so they're still with Melly. Piper reacted badly when the architects first came in. She sensed them before I did and screamed, according to Tara, but Melly soothed her and it all worked out. They're happy."
"You stayed," Dan said to Emma, slightly surprised.
"As if I would leave you like this. And she's in the best hands. Both of them are. That Melly is a wizard as far as I'm concerned."
"Well, this must have been a damn busy few minutes," Dan said, glancing around at how much had changed in the parking lot. Reporters were back at their cameras, some rushing to send out their recorded footage and some shooting live reports, almost all of their attention currently focused on Dan, given that the real star of the show was already gone, all of which told him that communications networks had returned at the same time as the visible sky. The damage Dan saw to some of the worst-hit skyscrapers was evident and upsetting, but nowhere near as grave as he had feared. He would soon learn that no one had in fact been killed by the craft's physical arrival, with the only directly attributable deaths coming as a result of heart attacks and other stress or tension-related ailments. A force field was in place around Dan, with only his inner circle surrounding him. William Godfrey, delighted to see Dan safe and well, kept a respectful distance until his friend was standing up. At that point, he walked over and hugged him tightly.
"You had me worried, McCarthy," the ICA chairman said, exhaling sharply in relief.
"He wanted to deep dive when Leisha couldn't hear what you guys were talking about," Clark chimed in, tipping his head towards Godfrey. "Leisha didn't let him, but he wanted to."
Godfrey downplayed his bravery.
"That conversation was a long 3 minutes for all of us."
3 minutes? Dan laughed. "No way. I was gone for ages. You're saying I spoke to him for 3 minutes and then I've only been out for a few more? It seriously seems like, I don't know, more like an hour."
Clark chuckled too. "Like Lolo, man. Remember, we had the video camera running and everything. It's crazy how things circle round. Was talking to him like talking to them? Don't say too much out loud, though," he added, stating this last part telepathically while pointing diagonally upwards. Only then did Dan notice that above the force field around the group, Leisha had placed President Slater, John Cole, and Jan Geller. Clark had evidently forgotten that force fields were soundproof when Leisha wanted them to be, but that hardly seemed like the most pertinent detail right now. Dan knew Leisha could only sustain one force field at a time, and this struck him as an ingenious solution to the problem of effectively detaining the villains out of his way by using height rather than walls in the same way zookeepers might use a moat rather than fences to keep a troop of chimpanzees in place. The chimps above Dan were none too pleased, needless to say, and Dan became aware then that most of the cameras he had thought were pointing at him were in fact at least partially focusing on the remarkable scene of the embarrassed trio apparently floating high over his head.
"What's going to happen with them?" Dan asked. Everyone shrugged, except Leisha, who simply repeated Clark's unanswered question from a moment earlier. To them, the immediate fate of three people who were explicitly implicated in prison-worthy crimes, thanks largely to a proverbial mountain of supporting evidence provided by Richard Walker's posthumous intervention, was far from the most pertinent detail. In considering how similar or otherwise his first conversation with an architect had been to his first with a messenger several years earlier, Dan looked at Emma, who had been with him on that fateful day in Lolo National Forest, and who would thus have the best sense of any comparison.
"After a weird start, it was kinda like Lolo, but actually easier, clearer. And he was okay. Not at all what we thought, or at least what I thought. He knows a lot, but not everything, which is, again, kind of like what I thought coming out of the contact day talk at the drive-in. There's so much to say, and in that sense, it is just like after Lolo, and then on contact day, too. You really don't have to worry about asking everything now, because I'm not going to forget any of it. But, Leisha, as for right now...
Billy, the alien asked, is it safe for me to go?
It's safe for you to go, yeah. It's the getting back he was worried about. He said minutes probably don't count for much, but that hours will, and the longer we wait, the worse it could get for Billy. Basically, he doesn't know if Billy will be okay when you get there, but he thinks he should be.
Good enough for me, Leisha said. Dan gulped.
Well, he also estimated that even if Billy is fine when you get there, there's only a 50% chance you both get back safely. There's a 25% chance only you get back safely, and a 25% chance only Billy gets back safely. It's to do with him having been there longer than you'll have been there. I remember it all without understanding it all, so I can tell you if you want, but whatever happens, and even if you don't go, the architects are going to get rid of the gate altogether without showing up on New Kaer Galen and without harming the Smalls. That's going to be solved.
Thank you for sharing that so candidly, Leisha said. And everyone, on the 25% chance I don't make it back, thank you for everything else, too. I hope to see you again very soon, but I promised Billy I would go back for him. And a promise I make is a promise I keep.